I also want to remind all of you mothers that the flowers in the windows are for you. Every mother gets a flower. They are from Gina and myself. We do this every year. This year you get portulaca. Isn't that great? And they take a lot of sun. So just remember that wherever you plant them. But every mother here, if you'll get a flower out of the window and take home, and you can plant that, and that is our gift to you. Okay? Now, our text, and I was reminded that because I always read the scripture that's my text, and this morning I read scripture that introduces my text, and scripture there in Exodus 20, verse 12, and in Proverbs 31, verses 26 and 331 reminds us that we are to honor our parents, and in Proverbs especially our mother. And when you have children that praise you, that's a great thing, isn't it? That's a blessing from the Lord. So I'd like you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Timothy. To 2 Timothy. And I'm not even going to preach about mothers today. I'm going to preach about sons. A son. Or daughters. But I'm going to preach about a son, but I want to show you how this son honored his mother, okay? So that's where we're going with this. So again, if you're able, would you stand and we'll read some verses here in 2 Timothy. And this is our text, 2 Timothy chapter 1. Paul is writing to Timothy. This is his second letter, or the second epistle of Paul to Timothy. And that's made clear in verse 2 when he says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. And in verse 5, Paul said this to Timothy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. So Lois, we are going to preach about you today, okay? And I am persuaded that in thee also. Now turn to chapter 3. And I want to read two verses here. Verses 14 and 15. Paul says to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Thank you. You may be seated. Today I want us to see how we can honor our mothers. And even if they are like Gina's mother and my mother, they're already in heaven. But that's a special blessing to know that if your mother can't be you with you, she's with the Lord. And that's great, isn't it? Traditionally, Mother's Day is when we give our mothers a day of cards and flowers and gifts and relaxation. And you say, hold it, Pastor. And this is the mother speaking. Hold it, Pastor. You wouldn't talk about relaxation if you'd known what I did already today. Why? I had to get out of bed early and take the dog for a very necessary walk. Then I had to cook breakfast. Then I had to get the children dressed and ready for church. Then I had to find my husband's glasses, Arnie's shirt, and make sure his tie was straight. Then we came to Sunday school. We got here on time, barely, you know. And now we're listening to you preach with the fear of what you might say about mothers. You call that relaxing? Now that ends the mother's reply. So, okay, mothers, I know you're busy. Mothers are always busy, aren't they? I know you're busy, but today I'm going to preach to your children, okay? About how to honor your mother. As we saw in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. As we saw in chapter 31, the verse where it said the children praiseth her, speaking of the mother. And we're going to see that literally in action through the life of this man named Timothy. So let me relate a little bit of Timothy's story. First of all, let's consider Timothy's father. I know it's Mother's Day, but you'll see the point. I want you to turn to Acts chapter 16. And you might want to hold a finger there because we're going to come back to it later on. Acts chapter 16. And verse 1. Now, Paul's on his missionary journey. And in Acts 16:1, he says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but her father was a Greek. Now, we know from the book of 2 Timothy, we know the name of Timothy's mother, which was Eunice, and her grandmother, which was Lois. But nowhere in the scripture do we find the name of the father of Timothy. He's not named in scripture. The only thing we know about him is that he was a Greek, meaning he was a Gentile. Everybody in the world was either Jew or Gentile. And so he was a Greek. He was married to Timothy's mother, of course, and she was a Jew, as this verse also tells us. So Timothy's mother was a Jew, his father was a Greek or a Gentile. Now, in verse 1, according to verse 1, when it mentions that he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and what's the next two words? And believed. She was a believer. It doesn't say that about his father, does it? All it says, his father was a Greek. From this same verse, we know that they were in Lystra. And his parents, Timothy's parents, were a mixed marriage in the sense that one was Jew and one was Gentile. We know from this verse that Timothy had a pagan father and a godly Jewish mother. It's not recorded what happened to Timothy. I mean, what happened to Timothy's father. When we get to the letters that Paul wrote to Timothy, and Paul mentions by name his mother and his grandmother, no mention at all about his father. And so, if you're curious like me, and you know the old saying, curiosity killed the cat, but the rest of the saying is, in satisfaction brought it back. So I get curious. And I could only come to just a couple conclusions. And apparently by the time we got to those letters in Timothy, the father was not in the home anymore. Now, I don't know whether he left Eunice, whether they were divorced, or whether his father had died, and that's the reason he was no longer mentioned when you get to the books of Timothy. We just know then he was not on the scene. So my curiosity did not get satisfied. I don't know about his dad. I can imagine his dad was a worshiper of idols, as was the case of people in Lystra before the gospel was brought to them by the Apostle Paul. And so I just make an assumption that his wife believed, but he was not a believer. And that's kind of sad, isn't it? But you know, that's the case in a lot of homes where one parent's saved and one is not. The real tragedy is in homes where both parents are not saved. And there's no one to instruct the children from the Word of God. Now let's consider Timothy's mother. From what we know in 2 Timothy, his mother Eunice and his grandmother Lois had taught him the Scriptures. Now, they didn't have the New Testament Scriptures, obviously, at that time. So they taught the Old Testament in Hebrew, called the Tanakh. You have to have a on it, Tanakh. That was the Old Testament that they the Jews read. They still read that. Modern Judaism rejects the New Testament, rejects Christ as their Messiah, but they still read the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament, they call the Tanakh. And these women had instructed Timothy from the Old Testament. Then along came Paul, and in Acts chapter 16, verse 1, that we read a while ago, he declared to them the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, up to that point, they believe the Old Testament, and the Old Testament is filled with knowledge about the Messiah, right? So many scriptures in the Old Testament that point to the Messiah. So these women believed someday the Messiah would come. The problem was, for the majority of Jewish people, in John chapter 1, I believe it's verse 11, it says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. They rejected him. Now, these women were living in Lystra, And so they didn't know about Jesus. And so Paul came and declared the gospel to them. Remember, Paul was a Jew, called by God to minister to Gentiles, but never forgetting the Jewish people. And that's why you have that parenthetical section in the book of Romans. Those three chapters, right in the midst of the book of Romans, written to Jewish people. And Paul declaring his love for his own people. But God called him to go to Gentiles. And so he's in Lystra, and he has the good news that the Messiah has come. He identified that Messiah. So up to this point, and when I say this point, I mean when Jesus was there, and his life and his crucifixion and his resurrection and his ascension back into heaven. But up to that point, all the Jewish people had, as well as Gentiles, was the information in the Old Testament. All those prophecies about Jesus in the Old Testament were perfectly fulfilled by Jesus. To the letter. To the dotting of the I and the crossing of the T. Perfect. So that there was no excuse for a Jew not to realize Jesus was the Messiah. On the day of Pentecost, praise God, 3,000 Jews got saved because they believed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. These women studied the Scripture. They knew all about the Messiah. They believed in the Messiah, but they didn't know He'd come. Now Paul brings the gospel to them, and they hear the gospel, and they believed. This is evidenced, if you'll turn to back to 1 Timothy. First Timothy, chapter 1, in verse 2. Paul says, he declares who he's writing to. He said, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now turn to 2 Timothy. And again, verse 2, Paul says to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul is declaring Timothy to be his son spiritually. I don't think Timothy had a spiritual father. But he had in his real father. But he had a spiritual father in the Apostle Paul. Because the Apostle Paul went to Lystra. These people, Eunice and Lois and Timothy, believed. They believed that the Messiah would come. Now Paul comes with the good news. He came, and his name is Jesus, and they believed. And what a wonderful thing that was. And so, Paul evidently was the one who brought Timothy to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he declares him in both these epistles as his son. He didn't say that about anybody else. but he said it about Timothy. So Timothy's father in the flesh was an unsaved Greek, but his spiritual father was the Apostle Paul, who brought the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to Timothy's family, and praise God, they believed. They always believed in Messiah, but now he's identified. You see what I'm saying? Now they know who he is, and they put their faith in him. Now that brings us to the point of the message, which tells us through Timothy's life how he can honor his mother. And we could ask his grandmother as well. Three things I want you to see today. First of all, Timothy could honor his mother by having a respect for the Scripture. A respect for the Scripture. Timothy's godly heritage was this. His grandmother Lois and her daughter Eunice, his mother, taught him the Scriptures. Again, that would have been the Old Testament Scriptures. Together, in the home, these two women taught Timothy the Word of God. And then Paul came along and showed how the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah had been fulfilled. Boy, that's some great news, isn't it? They believed the Old Testament. And they believed Paul when he said, "Now I can tell you who the Messiah is." Paul said, "I met him on the road to Damascus." And so here was a Jew telling Jewish people, "I found the Messiah." You know, that's still the problem today, is getting people to, Jewish people to know that the Messiah did come, and his name was Jesus. But they believe. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul said, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee." And so I looked it up. What does unfeigned mean? I have no idea. But I looked it up. Unfeigned means without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. What does that mean? It means that Lois and Eunice, who taught Timothy the Word of God from the time he was little, they had an unfeigned faith. They lived what they taught. That's what it means. They lived what they taught. And I would say to mothers and fathers today that if you want to train your children in the things of the Lord, you better live what you teach. Amen? That's unfeigned faith. That's faith without hypocrisy. It's interesting. The same word is used in James chapter 3, verse 17, where James is talking about wisdom, and he used that word unfeigned in relation to the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that comes from heaven. In that same passage, James let us know two things. He let us know that there are two kinds of wisdom in the world. There's worldly wisdom, and there's heavenly wisdom. There's wisdom that comes from the world, and James makes it clear that wisdom is not good. And we see that in our world today, don't we? We see it in all the things that man says is okay for you to do that the Bible says is not okay for you to do. Right? We talk about homosexual, lesbianism, and all the gender things that are going on in this world, and changing pronouns and everything else, the world's wisdom directs men away from God's wisdom. But James says there's a wisdom from above, and it's unfeigned. There's nothing hypocritical about God's wisdom, is there? And if we're going to live as Christians for the honor and glory of the Lord, there ought not to be any hypocrisy in how we live. God's word, which is God's wisdom, came from above. It came from a God who cannot lie. Why can't God lie? I preached a message before on some things God can't do. He can't lie. Because God is holy. God is pure. We can read this Bible and we can have confidence of what this Bible says because it's the Word of God, not the wisdom of man. And some churches and some religions have taken the position that, we believe the Bible, but we also believe what Rome said or what someone else said. You can't add to the Bible. And one of my concerns as a pastor is to make sure that what I teach you is found in the Word of God. And because of these two women, Timothy had a respect for the Scripture. I think of my mother when I was just a little boy. She taught me things about the Bible. She taught me the books of the Bible. And that set a foundation for me learning what all the other things my mother taught me. My dad was a Christian, and when I was, I think, 13 years old, he entered the pastorate. He had done a little bit of preaching in a little country church before then, but my dad taught me the Word too. But what you need to understand, Mother, is if the situation you're in is scriptural, you're going to have more time with the kids than dad is. And you need to teach them the Word of God. And dad needs to reinforce that. If it's a Christian home, the father's head of the home. And according to the Word, even if you're not Christian, he's head of the home. But we can see from this story, the head of the home wasn't there. I don't know what happened to him. He wasn't there. And so the mother and the grandmother taught Timothy the Word of God. And so the lesson is this: you must honor that mother who teaches you God's Word. And as I said, which fathers also should do if they know the Lord. But Timothy did not have a godly father. But praise God, he had a godly mother, didn't he? A mother who believed. And I think of my mother and that early training she gave me. I was saved in a church led to the Lord by a pastor, but I already believed before I did that because of my mother. Gina can say the same thing about her mother. Her mother was also a godly woman. Her mother and her father every morning had their devotions at the breakfast table. They used one of the devotional books and they took turns. One day, my father-in-law would read the scriptures and my mother-in-law would read the devotional, and then the next day, vice versa. She would read the scripture, he would read the devotional. But they love the Word of God. And so Gina and myself, we can both say we had both parents who believed in the Word of God. Both parents who taught us the Word of God. And not just by mouth, but how they live. Amen? That's so important. And so we need to honor mothers that teach us the Word of God. I want you to notice here in 2 Timothy what Paul says about this in verses 16 and 17. He says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And I believe that's what Timothy's mother and grandmother taught him, that the Word of God is profitable. And notice that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. There's great profit in hearing the Scripture, isn't there? In learning the Scripture, being taught the Scripture. The word profitable was profitable, first of all, because of doctrine. That's what you believe. That's the foundation for everything that you believe is the Word of God and what the Bible teaches, right? You need to know doctrine. You need to know what God says. And you can build upon that. And then it says that the Word of God is also profitable for reproof. Reproof is showing you what's wrong in your life. Showing you what needs to be changed in your life. Showing you how you can better be an example for the Lord Jesus Christ. And follow His Word. Correction is the next thing in those verses. That shows you how you need to change those things that are wrong in your life. First of all, you need the doctrine. You need to know what God says. Secondly, you need to allow the Word of God to show you what's wrong in your life. Thirdly, you need that correction. Shows you how to change it and how to do what God wants you to do. And that comes with the fourth one, instruction in righteousness. As we're taught the Bible, we learn what is pleasing to God and what is not pleasing to God. I believe we're called as Christians here in America, in the society that we live in, to stand up for what pleases God. And to reprove what does not please God. But we have to know the Word. And the Word will show you what is pleasing to God. We need to honor our mothers by obeying the Scriptures, the Word of God. Now, number two. We need to honor our mothers by having a real salvation. First, a respect for Scripture, then a real salvation. Why does Mom teach you the Bible? And the primary goal is so that you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I made that decision in January of 1953. Yeah, I'm that old. I made that decision in church as the pastor outlined the gospel to me, and I trusted Christ as my Savior. But my mother taught me, you believe the Bible. And she taught me, I need a Savior. I want you to know that a godly mother will want her children to be saved. She wants you to believe what the Bible says about salvation. Mothers, let me give you a good passage of Scripture, good to teach your children. Turn to the book of Romans. And there's a lot of course, Scriptures that you can show children their need of salvation. Romans chapter 3, and we'll not read, but just a passage, a part of it. But in verse 19, Paul said this, Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Here Paul shows us the reason God gave the law. He didn't give the law to save us. He gave the law to show us that we're sinners because we can't keep the law. He goes on to say, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight. The law shows you you're guilty, but the law can't save you. It can't justify you. It says, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's the purpose of the law. So that we might know that we are sinners. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law, separate from the law, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about Jesus' faith, but talking about our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so verse 24 says, being justified, are we justified by the law? No. The law tells you you're a sinner, it can't justify you. God had to do something else. So being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in what? Or who? Christ Jesus. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. That word propitiation means satisfaction through faith in His blood. God says that the only way you can be saved is through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ shed on the cross that your sin might be forgiven. And we have to put our faith in that shed blood. Amen. And that's how we can be declared righteous. For the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. You got that? In Jesus. God says you sin. The law declares that. God says you need a Savior. God says you can't save yourself. So God said, I'm sending my Son to die in your place, to take the punishment for your sin, for He knew no sin. He died for our sin. And the only thing that will satisfy the righteousness of God is when we put our faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross for us. Any other attempt you might make to know God falls short. God can only declare you righteous when you accept what He provided for you so you could be righteous in His sight through your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God says, nothing else will satisfy me. That's what that word propitiation is about. You try to come to me in any other way, that won't satisfy me. So let's read on a couple more verses. Verse 27 says, where's boasting then? What do we have to brag about? What do we have to boast about? Where's boasting then? It is what? excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of what? Faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by what? Faith. Without the deeds of the law, meaning apart from the deeds of the law. Any religion, any church that teaches you that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross was not totally sufficient for your salvation, that you have to do some other things in order to be saved, they're telling you a lie. Because we're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's pretty clear, isn't it? I believe Timothy learned that. A godly mother will also teach you that 1 John 5:13 says you can know that you're saved. And I've told you this many times, but over the years, I think of all the people that I have witnessed to about salvation, and in answer to this question, and I ask this question, do you know that you're going to heaven when you die? And the majority of people say, well, I hope so. Listen, I want you to know, we don't have a hope-so salvation. We have a know-so salvation. And God says when your faith is in His Son, which He provided as a sacrifice for your sin, and if you think you can go to heaven in any other way except faith in the sacrifice Jesus made for you on the cross, you're lost. You don't have any hope. But we can know we're saved. Isn't that a good way to honor your mother? By saying, my salvation is real. I have a real salvation. And you need to let her know that. And the third thing, of how a son can honor his mother. Of course, when I say son, generic, I'm talking about daughters too. How a child can honor their mother is by having a readiness to serve. First of all, you need a respect for the Scripture. Secondly, you need to have a real salvation. And then thirdly, you need to have a readiness to serve. And notice again in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 14, now, Timothy's already saved. He's already serving the Lord. Paul's writing him to encourage him and to help him. And he says, but what? Verse 14. But what? Continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. What's Paul saying? Well, basically, he's saying two things. He's saying, remember what your mother and your grandmother taught you. He's also saying, remember what I taught you. He said, continue in what you've heard. And I believe he's talking about an emphasis on service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Timothy was in service. He was a pastor. And Paul's saying, continue in that. That's what God called you to do. That's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be in readiness to serve Him at all times. Yes, you need to honor your mother by taking care of her. And there will be a time when you'll have to do that. Or you may have to do that, depending on circumstances. You may have to take care of mother physically. But you need to honor your mother in the fact that she taught you the Word of God, which emphasizes you to serve the Lord. And so Paul encourages Timothy to continue. Literally means to stand on your own. Your mother, your grandmother, and I have taught you, now stand for the Lord. Continue in that. Don't fail. Don't quit. Don't give up. In other words, Paul is saying be available to do what God wants you to do. What does God want you to do? He wants you to continue in His service. I like what one man said to a group of seniors as they graduated from a Christian college. By the way, one of my granddaughters graduated from college this year. It wasn't a Christian college. But these had graduated from a Christian college, and so this man said this. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, "Seniors, you've been taught by your parents, by your teachers, and by your pastor. Now it's time for you to take up the towel to serve others." And then you know what he did? He went, he had a pile of towels there, and he went to every parent there and gave them a towel. And then he said, "Now give your towel to your son or to your daughter who's graduated. Pass it on," right? Be ready to serve the Lord. And in closing, I wanted to show you what Paul said in Philippians chapter 2. If you'll turn to Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, I want us to read beginning with verse 19. At this time, Timothy is with Paul. And Paul says to the church at Philippi, he says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus," that would be Timothy, "shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state." In other words, I'm sending Timothy to find out where you are spiritually. And he goes on to say, and this is a remarkable statement, but he said, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." Of all the people, of all the men, Paul said, he said, "I'm sending Timothy to you because I don't have anyone else who is like-minded. But Timothy is. And I can send you him in confidence, knowing that he'll care for you and he'll teach you and he'll love you like I do." That's a wonderful testimony, isn't it? He goes on to say, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as a son with a father," talking about Timothy, "as a son with a father, he has served me with me in the gospel." Paul could send Timothy to the Philippians because, "I know my son. I know what he believes. I know what his mother taught him. I know what his grandmother taught him. I know what I taught him. And you can count on him. He's going to tell you the same thing I would." Which is the Word of God, by the way. Let's bring this to a conclusion. Mothers and grandmothers, if you teach your children the Bible like Eunice and Lois did, make sure of these three things. Number one, they respect the Scripture. Number two, they have a real salvation. Don't be in doubt whether they're saved or not. And number three, have a readiness to serve God and do whatever God wants you to do. Let's bow our heads. If you're here this morning and you are not saved, you may be a mother, you may be a father, you may be a grandmother, grandfather, you may be a son or a daughter, but you're not certain of your eternal salvation, Will you trust Christ today? He's the only way. God will not be satisfied with anything you do unless you trust His Son.